Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That's right, on a bonus Friday. We put it out there. We said, do y'all want to hear this? And you guys said yes, overwhelmingly, which we really appreciate. It makes our feelings not hurt that you want to hear more.
Yeah. And I did this episode, this last episode that came out about the missing 401 and the disappearances in the forest. I did it really fast because there's a lot, right? But Tyler, he did this wonderful piece on this podcast that we used to do together.
2 years ago, almost. That's almost so 2 years ago.
But it's really cool how it almost connects beautifully.
Dude, next week is Believing the Bizarre is 1 year.
Oh, happy birthday us.
Happy birthday us. So this episode starts with national forest disappearances, and then it dives more into Mount Shasta and all the creepiness that surrounds Mount Shasta. But I do want to say there is one overlapping story between this one and what Charlie talked about, but it's very fast. It'll be gone before you even know it.
Which one is it?
It's the Michigan guy.
Oh, okay.
Because gotcha. Remember, I told you, I'm like, I think I have heard this one. Okay. Totally makes sense. Yeah. So, sound quality be a little different.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago. If you think about where you were at 2 years ago, things change.
Your sound quality was not as good.
It really wasn't. You guys mumbled 2 years ago. Now you're talking proudly. Your chest is out. You're standing very
confident,
erect.
Erect.
Yes. Yes. So, without further ado, please enjoy this bonus episode, bonus content about people missing again in national forests and Mount Shasta. Okay, so we are now at Paraformal, which is paranormal.
Woo!
Not Paranorman. Subpar. Did you see Paranorman?
I think Matt likes it.
Sorry, Matt.
No, I mean,
Matt's going to come back at me in 5 weeks when he's got me on a walk all alone and be like, I didn't like what you said about Paranorman.
Paranorman? I think Alex likes that too.
Well, I guess I'm in the minority here. It was okay. It was no Monster House.
I didn't see it. I like Monster House a lot.
Me too. Anyway, this is going to be a little scattered. So you're going to have to stick with me on your commute while you're hanging out, doing whatever you're doing. Stick with me here.
I'm with you.
I know you got it. You got to be, listen, you are the lens of the audience.
Right.
Like, I've thought this through. I have it written down. I got 9 pages of notes here. I'm fine. You are the person who is representing the listener. So if I start making 0% sense, it's up to you to reel me in.
I will keep you on. I don't think any of this is going to make sense, but.
Good. How do you feel about national forests?
National forests?
National forests.
I think they're open 24/7.
Are they?
I think so. Good. Didn't we find that out a couple weeks ago?
I think so. The cool thing about them, which I've always liked, is you can camp in them. Like, you can just go out and camp.
Really?
Like, yeah, rather than, like, places where you need to be at a campsite.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in a national forest, good to go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That seems more fun to me if you were camping. I've only camped a couple times. But if I was actually going out in the wilderness, I think I'd rather camp just...
I mean, I like the sites because there's, like, electricity usually.
That's not camping. That's glamping.
Well, no. I mean,
glamping.
Like, there's a difference between outlet and, like, a lighting fixture.
Yeah, and there's a difference between camping and glamping. But anyways, apparently, some national forests are considered paranormal hotspots. So if you think about a paranormal hotspot, think about it as, like, and a lot of this is going to be more conspiracy than specifically like paranormal, like Black Eyed Kids, Witch's Ball. Like that was more like creepy, paranormal, spooky stuff where this, it goes into that, but it is kind of like conspiracy theorist mindset. So if you go into that mindset, think about it in terms of like, okay, what makes something more paranormal? And if you think about like dimensions and stuff, you might say like Halloween, like the veil is thinnest around Halloween.
Yeah.
Like think about maybe there are certain areas in this world where a veil is just naturally thinner.
Like a porter.
A porter.
Like a porter.
Kevin
wine,
Porter,
you know?
Jr. Like, yeah, like a portal. Yeah, or it just, like our world and their world is closer there. Like, think of the Bermuda Triangle,
yeah,
for example, or the Suicide Forest in Japan, which I think they just made a movie about, which I did not see.
It was bad, called The Forest.
I'll probably still watch it. So anyway, the national forests, this is something that I thought was interesting. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of stories about people going missing in these forests. And it makes sense after like what I kind of mentioned about how if you're in these forests, you can just go camping like 24/7. So naturally, in a place that's less restricted, you're probably going to have more stuff happen. But just the amount of people that go missing, and this is something else that I thought was kind of crazy. There are no statistics being kept about missing people in national forests. As far as my research goes, if you guys can prove me wrong, come at me. Be like, you can go right here and find it. But from all the research that I did, they don't like to disclose how many missing people national forests have at any given time. And it just, like, that in itself seems like a completely different conspiracy for another day. But just the fact that nobody has any idea how many people are disappearing. Based on a lot of the different research that I did, a lot of the disappearances are either people showing up in places that they would not expect to be found, or just bodies never found. Both of which are not good. So what I want to do here is I found four stories. And I'm saying stories in that, doesn't just because I'm telling you them doesn't mean they're truth, doesn't mean they're documented. These are four stories that are put out there that you can take at face value, you can take it however you want. So are you with me? Are you ready for my first story?
I'm ready.
We haven't even dove into my topic yet. This is how much I love prefacing. This is going to be an hour-long episode before I'm like, okay, here's my real topic. Lillian, pretty name, right?
Yeah.
Six-year-old girl, Maine, 1897. You with me?
1897. Yeah. So this is like, she's got like a thing on her head.
Yeah. So Lillian and her parents were blueberry picking. Everybody loves picking blueberries. So they were only there for a short amount of time when, poof, she vanished.
Oh, boy.
Without a trace. So they searched, they went looking, they got the authorities. So essentially, after a little while, they got about 200 people. I feel like communities were like, man, they were tight-knit back then. Girl goes...
It had to be, because otherwise everyone would be gone.
They weren't at home playing Call of Duty. So a few days later, a team of 300 people found her a few miles from where they vanished. And this is what she had to say when they found her. The sun shined the entire time that I was in the woods.
Oh my God. You don't know this, but my body just went tangles.
So, and the people claimed, obviously, they have to add this extra detail just to make it seem extra spooky. The weather was stated to be partly cloudy, and she had spent two nights outside at night for a total of 46 hours, but she claims that the sun was shining the entire time.
She went to another dimension.
I was thinking alien, like that light.
Oh, okay.
Moving on. Stephen Kubacki. We're in the 70s now. In February 1978, Stephen, who was a student at the time, he went missing in Michigan. I knew that was going to throw me off. Missing in Michigan.
Pure Michigan.
Apparently, it's known as the Great Lakes Triangle.
What?
The Great Lakes Triangle. I don't know. I don't think it's probably even holds a candle to the Bermuda Triangle.
I've never even heard of that.
He was going skiing. He's like, hey, it's the 70s. The Warriors come out next year. I'm going to go skiing. So they found his skis, his poles on the beach of Lake Michigan, and footprints heading up to the lake, like the ice. Apparently they were in a chopper, and they flew over it, and the footprints just appeared to stop. So he's just unheard of for a little over a year. So 15 months later, in 1979, which is the year the Warriors takes place, Stephen walked up to his father's door and said he didn't remember much.
Which is 15 months later?
Yeah, that's an understatement. Think of everything you did in 15 months.
Oh, my God.
So he woke up in Pittsfield, which is only 40 miles from his father's house where he walked to, but it's 700 miles from Lake Michigan. He was lying in a meadow. He was wearing clothes that did not belong to him, and he had a satchel that was full of maps that also did not belong to him.
Oh, you know what happened to him? I know what happened to him. He was abducted, and he lived in a human zoo, and they had a whole fucking trial about whether he should go back home or not, and he didn't remember that at all.
That would probably make sense with the 15 months. That's probably how long that alien trials take.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one doesn't have a name. This is when it starts becoming like, take it for what it's worth. If it's just a good story, it's just a good story. But it's a first-hand account by somebody who, they're on Reddit. So they're claiming a story themselves. Does it lose a little weight? For me, yeah, it does. But at the same time, here's what's said. So this takes place in summer of 2015 in the Great Smoky Mountains. So this one takes place in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Okay.
This is how we're going to do this. So a lady went hiking with her husband and her two sons. They were 6 and 8 years old. The youngest child has epilepsy and had a migraine disorder. He'd been seizure-free for a couple years, and he controlled his headaches with medication. So as they're hiking, her youngest son, the six-year-old, starts complaining about feeling hot, and his head started hurting a lot. So because they were on a trip, she said, hey, husband, I'm sure that's what she said, hey, husband, an eight-year-old child without a name, you guys go on ahead. Like, you guys just go on ahead. I'm gonna hang back with him because he was slowing down. She didn't want it to affect them because them being older and whatever, they probably want to do their own thing. So she decided to stay back. So the six-year-old starts to cry and starts complaining that his ears and his head are hurting, and he starts covering his ears. At this point, the husband and the eight-year-old are kind of far up ahead. So it's just those two hanging back. So she claims that she walked off the trail and they sat down in this little grassy area. And she told him, just close your eyes. Just relax, you know, calm down. It'll be okay. And she was just trying to, you know, get him to relax. So maybe it would help his head out a little bit. She got her phone out to text her husband that they're resting. And while she was this, so it's 2015, but she must have had an older phone unless she had the volume turned on. But when she started texting her husband, the clicking of her phone felt loud to her. And that's when she kind of had a moment and she stopped and was like, it is eerily quiet out here. So what she claims that made her feel like was she had been told her whole life, you know, when a tornado comes, things get like eerily quiet. Like, you know, the idea of like the calm before a storm. So she was actually starting to get a feeling like something was just going to swipe them away. And she began to feel afraid and looked around. And so while she's trying to calm her child down, she feels this ominous, heavy feeling. It was like the way she described it was like when a child doesn't want to look under their bed, but they feel like something's under the bed. Like, she wanted to look around because she felt afraid, but she was almost like too afraid of what she might see. So this went on for about 10 minutes, and she said she was getting this primal urge to just get out of there. But at the same time, she has her six-year-old kid. She's trying to relax so that he's relaxed and calm him down. But at the same time, she's getting this feeling like something is just completely off. So that lasts for about 10 minutes, she claims. She says a few seconds later, her oldest son came racing down the trail that they had just came from with a look of just absolute panic on his face. And he screams, Dad, I found her. So she asks him, like, what was the issue? Like, I was sending you a text message saying we were just going to rest a while because her son was having headaches. They told her that they'd been looking for her for over 3 hours. And she called him a liar, said it probably felt like a couple hours, but they were only there for 10 minutes. But when she got back, she checked her phone, she checked her husband's phone, she checked her car's clock. She really had been out there for 3.5 hours. And her husband and son claimed that they went up and down the trail, screaming their names. And she claims that on that trail, even if they wouldn't have seen her, she would have easily heard them calling because of how quiet everything felt. So that one kind of struck me as one.
3.5 hours of missing time.
Yeah. Oh, so God. It's like the son's reaction, her reaction physically, mentally to whatever was happening, and then just losing 3.5 hours like nothing. Any comments?
That was another one that made me like, I'm like shivering. Yeah.
So this is my fourth and final one of specifically just various
forests.
Yes. Yeah. So this one takes place at a personal retreat yoga center area in Colorado. I don't know what national forest is out there, but
in Colorado?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. That's where people ski and stuff, you know?
So this lady is out there by herself on this retreat, and she's on this hike. She claims to be an experienced hiker. So she walks 5 feet off the trail because she sees this brightly colored sign attached to a tree, which gave the name of the national forest she was in. She didn't say what it was, but she saw it. So when she turned around to go back on the trail was not there. So she walks 5 minutes off the trail path, looks at the sign, turns around, and she was in a different location. So she tried to calm herself down. She circled the area to find the trail, or try to find the trail, but she could not find where she had came from. So she decided to retrace her steps backwards, like double back, to find the sign that she was looking at, the brightly colored National Forest sign, and that wasn't there either. So she had no point of reference. The trail was gone and the sign was gone. So she started to get what she can only claim as a creepy feeling that she was being watched, which was followed by a panic. So while she's looking around, trying to get some type of point of reference, she hears voices in the distance. So she's like, okay, there's other people out here. So she begins screaming and crying out for help. But she gets this feeling that her voice isn't actually carrying. Like, what she's saying isn't going anywhere. It's just dying. And she gets this intuition inside her, like something is trying to pull her in a separate direction. But she tries to fight it because she just has this off feeling, like whatever is happening is not right. So she begins running towards the voices. And she claims that the grass is getting taller and taller, and it almost feels like she's falling in quicksand. She twists her ankle, and she felt like she was running in slow motion.
And she died.
No. And she hired a ghostwriter to get all this out. So she claims eventually she just got to the trail. Like, I don't know how that happened. It's not a very well put together story. But this is kind of what I thought was the most interesting. When she got back to the facility, she felt like her eyes were being burned and like she had been doused in different chemicals. Like there were burn marks on her body. Typically, like if I don't believe a story, if I don't know what a story, like typically I know where a story's going or I know what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Like if I read a story about somebody being in a mansion and then they have two marks on their neck, I'm like, all right, I know where you're going with this. I don't know where this is going in terms with the burning eyes. What is it?
Alien.
You think so?
Yeah.
Alien. But how would that whole situation
have missing time?
But it wasn't just time. It's like she was put in a different location and everything was slowed down.
I think what she's trying to approach there was like a missing, like memory manipulation.
Okay.
And burning is like readjusting to the atmosphere or the, like she was like sterilized and then readjusted.
Okay.
That's what I would gather.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because I had no idea. I didn't have any prior knowledge that would lead me to something.
Like you said, I've initiated in this kind of talk, so I think that's what I would guess. My expertise, I would say she's the least credible of those stories that you told. It's the least credible one.
Because she was all alone too, so it doesn't. So how many of you or Charlie have you heard of Mount Shasta?
I have not before today.
Not before today?
No.
It is a U.S. national natural landmark. It's a huge mountain. It's actually technically a volcano.
Oh, and, like St. Helens.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's part of the Cascade Mountain Range. It's part of the Trinity National Forest. Ah, you see the connection.
I do.
Yes, Northern California. And I know if you don't ask, somebody else would ask, when's the last time it erupted? 1786.
Oh, this is a while ago. So that was like...
It's due. It's due. So I'm going to start with this, which this doesn't hold much weight, but it leads to... It'll be brought back up. This is a callback moment. So... In 2008, 2009, there was a mysterious hole discovered in the side of this volcano or mountain, whatever you want to call it. Mountain.
Fill that hole if you know what I'm talking about. Hey, Tyler, hey.
It was about 60 feet deep and it happened overnight. So if you think about it, it's not like a 6 foot, hole that somebody's digging with a shovel. It's 60 feet deep. That's, pretty significant. They claimed that it looked like it was dug by hand. The only thing that was left behind and discovered in the morning was a ladder, a couple of buckets, and a plastic water bottle. So how does this come into play? I don't know either. We'll get back to it. So here's the main story. So this story is my favorite. It's why I'm bringing it up now. It would easily fit in with the other stories that I discussed, but I'm saving it because this one is specifically talking about Mount Shasta. So, October 1st, 2010, we're going to be talking about 3.5-year-old little John, who his family likes to go fly fishing near, you guessed it, Mount Shasta. Around 6 p.m. that night, John's parents realized that the sun had suddenly gone missing.
Not the sky's sun, the little boy's sun.
The little boy.
Okay.
Not the constant daytime sun from the 1700s. So the way they describe it is 1 second he was there, and then the next second it just felt like he was gone. So they searched the area. They called the police. It only took about 5 hours. And I don't say that lightly. Like, obviously, any time that a three-year-old is missing, it probably feels like forever. So this is me being serious. I know. I don't mean just 5 hours. But compared to, like, 46 hours, another story, yeah. 5 hours is not that bad. So about 5 hours pass, and they find him. He's in a dazed, semi-conscious state. But they
tripping on the molly.
Yeah, he's eating the mushrooms on the mountain. So they find him. He's exhausted. But for the time being, everything's okay. They're like, okay, that was scary. We don't know how it happened, but we got him back. So time passes, and one day, little John is hanging out with his grandmother, Kathy, and they're playing. And out of nowhere, John, little 3.5-year-old, looks at his grandmother and say that he didn't like the other grandmother. And so she's confused, and she asks him exactly what he means.
Is that like other mother from Coraline?
Maybe. So this is what little John says. He, out of nowhere, he like, and this time has passed, and nothing has been said. So he tells his grandmother that while he was lost in the woods, he had been taken deep inside of Mount Shasta, a cave, by a woman that he thought was his grandmother. She led him into a cool, dark, spider-infested room that was filled with motionless humanoid robots. And apparently scattered across the floor were dusty guns, purses, and other types of weapons. So when he gets...
Wait, hold up.
Yeah.
Is a purse a weapon?
No. Other weapons like guns.
Oh, and purses.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's typically what old ladies use to beat up burglars. That's right. So he notices, at this point, he notices that an eerie light is coming from his grandmother's head.
Sure.
So this is when he realizes shit ain't sweet. She asks him, she puts down a piece of paper and asks him to defecate on it.
What the fuck?
In that room. So he says, he keeps telling her, like, I don't want to, I don't have to, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this. But apparently, like, that's all they could get out of him. I mean, he's 3.5 years old. It's not like there's only so much of a coherent conversation that you can get out of him. But obviously, you know, she alerted his parents and everybody was concerned. So I guess... This is where it kind of gets weird for me. That leads...
that's where it gets weird. That's the part that's a little strange, a little out there for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's two parts. One, I guess the grandmother, the fake grandmother with a light in her head, claimed that John had been planted inside his mother's womb and that he was actually from outer space. And two, now the grandmother claims to have her own story. That she, like, it's like when you have an experience and you just repress it or ignore it, but then when somebody else said something weird, it's like, oh, wow, that actually kind of, like...
Memories.
Yeah, so she had a moment herself where she had been camping. She went on a camping trip, probably when she was younger, but it doesn't give a time, and I'm not going to make one up. So when she left the sleeping bag... she felt an intense pain at the base of her neck, and there were apparently two puncture wounds, and the skin became red and inflamed, and they claimed that it looked like a spider bite. So the connection to that would obviously be under the cave, there were the spiders. It was a spider-infested room. So both her and her companion on her trip became violently ill and so sick that she couldn't even get enough strength to, like, pack her bags and get out of there. And the only thing she remembers from that night before she came to the next morning was she claimed there were two glowing eyes that were staring at her from the forest. So I don't know how soon or how far that story happened in regards to Little John's story. Little John. But, you know, they're making the connection between the spider. She loses time herself, so we don't know what's happening with that family. But out of all the stories that I read about Mount Shasta, that's one that kind of, like, stuck with me. And I was like, it's probably one of the more famous ones from that mountain.
Did you know that alien sightings are hereditary?
No, like, people experience it, like, it's family.
Yeah, they stay inside family circles, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I wonder if there's anything like that going on.
I don't know. I, thankfully, that as far as I know, my family's pretty good. Remember we were talking about digging the hole?
Yeah, that hole. I remember that hole.
Remember the hole?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people think that Mount Shasta is above a lost continent called Lemuria.
Oh my god.
Have you heard about Lemuria?
I know about Lemuria.
Is it Lemuria? It's a U. I've never heard the E.
It doesn't. matter. It's made up.
So it's the world between like how lemurs got to Madagascar and all these underground tunnels.
Why
stuff.
Would California be above Lemuria then?
Why not?
Because if it's by
there's
Africa.
Tunnels under there, man, giants and stuff.
Okay, sure. You go ahead. Continue.
So people are, even if it's not Lemuria, people are extrapolating that something might be underneath the mountain, because once somebody started digging, that 60-foot hole was found in the side of the hill, the tribe became kind of possessive of it. And that could just be like, this is our land, this is our property, even if it's not, you know, we're not talking legally their property, we're talking about in their...
Like spiritually.
Spiritually their property, and somebody's messing with it. So that's one thing there. So we'll pass over that because it's getting long anyway. So the last thing is, and I know you'll enjoy this, it is a hot spot for UFOs.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is.
A lot of people have claimed to see cloud-like looking flying saucers come from it. And there's actually an image on one, and we'll probably post it because I think that's pretty exciting. But apparently in 1947, Kenneth Arnold witnessed a fleet of 9 UFOs flying past Mount Adams in Washington State, which isn't Shasta, but it is part of the Cascades. So the Cascade Mountains have a history of UFOs.
Do you know what kind of UFOs?
No.
Like, did you have a shape?
It's probably like a round one.
Like the disc?
Yeah. But according to an entry on, I've never heard of this, the Mutual UFO Network. Are you a member? Did you sign up?
MUFON?
Do you have an account?
I tried to. It's like $80.
Well, that can't be a scam. But according to an entry on, as Charlie said, MUFON, a UFO was spotted making an escape from Mount Shasta. Like, they saw it coming from out. Somebody actually took a picture of it. So people were taking photos of Mount Shasta at this time. I think this is in the 40s. This is a different... Like, so somebody saw it in the 40s, and then later, like, our time, because there's cameras. So probably, like...
cameras in the 40s?
Yeah, not on their phones.
That's true.
We're talking Childish Gambino's last album. They were taking pictures of Mount Shasta's evening silhouette when, all of a sudden, a bright body of light just shot out the slope of the mountain. So the person, they thought it was just a shooting star. Like, they thought it was just a shooting star, and just based on their perspective, it was shooting out. But the way that they saw it, they found that the shooting star had something shaped like a cigar right underneath it, and they were not able to identify what that was, and that didn't fit what they thought of as a shooting star. So that aspect of it is unknown. Which I appreciate that they were naturally and initially going natural phenomenon. They weren't just like, oh my God, it was a UFO. I always appreciate when somebody tries to...
Like reason something out.
Yeah, that always makes me believe you more if you like are trying to break it down before you're just like, yeah, it was Godzilla.
You know, a cigar shape is actually... Those are theorized to be motherships.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And this is the last thing, and I'm going to leave you with this, and I don't know what this is. They sent the image of the UFO with a large light and the cigarette-shaped object underneath. They sent it to a self-titled UFO expert, Scott C. Waring, who believes the pictures are genuine.
What's his name?
Scott C. Waring.
I don't know him.
He claims that they are genuine pictures of an alien spaceship.
Okay.
Apparently he runs website ET database where they compile UFO pictures.
They should send it to MUFON.
They should. Well, he's probably like $80. Fuck that. So let me just do a light recap and then we can have a short discussion.
Okay.
National Forest, they don't keep track of missing people.
So weird.
Whether you believe it or not, if you want to take a Google dive, there are tons. I mean, I gave 4. There are tons of crazy stories about people's personal experiences and actually documented stories about people waking up different areas, not understanding what's happening. And Mount Shasta is a great example of a national forest / volcano that is considered to be a paranormal hotspot, with both UFOs, tunnels, people having terrifying experiences, underground tunnels. I think I said tunnels twice. There's many tunnels. There's more than one tunnel. You go from the conservatory to the lounge and from the kitchen to somewhere else. The study? I don't know. We're talking Clue.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
But But yeah, so Charlie, what were your thoughts? I know you, I appreciate how much you were interjecting in between. I admit, this was a lot. I had 9 pages of research. I was really just going to start with Mount Shasta, yeah, but it just turned into so much more, no, and I didn't want to leave anything out.
It turned into a deep dive.
I think the funnest part was the stories, the main 4 stories.
Yeah, right? I like those stories a lot.
So what are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
That last story, I don't think was credible.
With the grandma and Little John?
No, not that.
Oh, with the girl. Like, she went forward and it disappeared, and she went backward and it disappeared. Yeah, okay.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Reading that one, I was like, I'm going to put it in here because it caught my attention. But at the same time, I was like, and I'm not sold. I'm not saying all these are true. I mean, none of these could be true. I'm just saying I think they're interesting, and it's just a lot. Like, more than anything, the fact that National Forests don't have statistics for missing people. I hope that's not true. I hope somebody fact checks me on that.
Yeah, I hope someone was like, actually,
I have a list right here. Yeah. So what else were you thinking?
I really believe in aliens. I really do.
Well, yeah, when you look at the sky and all the stars, it's hard to think, even if they didn't come here.
No, I think they're here. Like, okay. I think they're fucking with, like, there's so many stories of missing time that just don't make sense.
You should, well, that doesn't necessarily mean only aliens.
I guess, yeah, I know, but like, I think it's the most logical explanation to me.
Be like time portals or like something with time and space.
I guess, but
even I'm not. So I mean, nobody knows
yet.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for sharing, subscribing, liking, 5-starring everyone. We see you out there, and we appreciate it.